turn to Isaiah 65, please. We'll be looking at verses 15 and 16 today. And these are the last couple of verses in this first section of Isaiah chapter 65. They kind of transition at the end into the second section that goes from verses 17 through 25 there. Let's hear God's word as we begin our reading at verse 1. I was sought by those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. I said, "Here I am, here I am," to a nation that was not called by my name. I've stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good according to their own thoughts, a people who provoke me to anger continually to my face, who sacrifice in gardens and burn incense on altars of brick, who sit among the graves and spend the night in the tombs, who eat swine's flesh, and the broth of abominable things is in their vessels, who say, "Keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am holier than you." These are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but will repay, even repay into their bosom, your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, says the Lord, who have burned incense on the mountains and blasphemed me on the hills. Therefore I will measure their former work into their bosom. Thus says the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one says, "Do not destroy it, for a blessing is in it," so will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. I will bring forth descendants from Jacob, and from Judah an heir of my mountains. My elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, and the valley of Achor a place for herds to lie down, for my people who have sought me. But you are those who forsake the Lord, who forget my holy mountain, who prepare a table for Gad, and who furnish a drink offering for Mani. Therefore I will number you for the sword, and you shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, you did not answer. When I spoke, you did not hear, but did evil before my eyes, and chose that in which I do not delight. Therefore, thus says the Lord Jehovah, behold, my servant shall eat, but you shall be hungry. Behold, my servant shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. Behold, my servant shall rejoice, but you shall be ashamed. Behold, my servant shall sing for joy of heart, but you shall cry for sorrow of heart and wail for grief of spirit. In our text we read then in verses 15 and 16, you shall leave your name as a curse to my chosen, for the Lord Jehovah will slay you and call his servants by another name, so that he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. And he who swears in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hidden from my eyes. And now the rest of the chapter. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing, and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. No more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble, for they shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says Jehovah. May God bless his word to us today. As we've read along, not just today, but for many weeks now, here in chapter 65, you've been seeing with me that there are a couple of different groups here being addressed. You may remember that from the very beginning of this book of prophecies of Isaiah, we had seen that this was for the people of Judah and Jerusalem, but it was more widely still given as well. Because in the day that Isaiah lived, there was no northern kingdom of Israel. Over preceding generations before its destruction, those who were truly godly in the northern kingdom had gradually, over generations, filtered down into the southern kingdom. This is why, for example, in Jesus' day, the prophetess Anna that got to meet him when he was but an infant, who was described as being, I believe, from the tribe of Zebulun, way up in the north, was there. She wasn't dispersed like others because hundreds of years before, ancestors of hers, by the mercy of God, by the grace of God, had seen, we can't live here anymore in the north. We can't live here anymore where everyone's going after Baal, where everyone's going after Asherah. And the few people who do claim to worship Jehovah do it in ways that either he forbid us to do or in ways that they've made up and God never commanded. We've got to get out of here. We've got to move down where God is still, by some, worshipped and honored. Where there's still the temple, and there is still the proper festival days, where still the family of Aaron, the men of Aaron, and the high priest of God are there. It's been corrupted in many ways, but there is a seed of blessing there, and there are still some who are obeying and serving Jehovah. So many over the years, over the generations, moved down. And so when God is speaking to Israel as a whole here, it is they who are dwelling in Judah and Jerusalem. Sadly, even there were many who were not truly believers. Even there was following after other gods. We just read about a couple of them here that we looked at a few weeks ago. Gad, who had the same name as one of the northern tribes of Israel, and this other one, Mani. But there have been many other gods as well. And there were many who were worshiping Jehovah, but with bad forms and with bad hearts. They were hypocrites. They gave outward service to God, but their hearts were not right. And it was evidenced by the fact that not only did they go after idols, not only did they try to worship Jehovah in ways that he had not commanded, but seemed good to them and maybe seemed a little more fun and entertaining, but as well their other ways of acting showed that their hearts were not right. They were full of lies and deceit. They were constantly seeking after their neighbor's property and even their wives. They were oppressing the poor. They were doing all kinds of nasty stuff that showed that their hearts, no matter what their lips said, no matter what their religious actions were that they went through, their lives, their hearts were not right. And we have seen the contrast all along here, all along. And so this is finished up here in verses 15 and 16, where we have the final honor and dishonor. Dishonor to the wicked in verse 15, and honor to the remnant of God in verse 16. Now, we must note why there is a difference. Sadly, left to themselves, the mass of Israel, those who were only Israel after the flesh, circumcised only in the flesh, could only continue in their idolatry and their self-righteousness, because that's the only way their hearts would allow them. The fallen human heart, and that's all they had, cannot regenerate itself, cannot make itself alive. It cannot but find some way to sin. It must express its own sinful and self-idolatrous self. It'll find one way or another. It's just like if you have a whole big pitcher of water, children, and you pour it out, what's it gonna do? Well, I know, make a wet mess. But if you keep on pouring and pouring and pouring, it will go and seek out the lowest spot. That's how God has made water to be. It goes for the lowest place. And whatever way it will go, it seeks the lowest path. And so it is with the human heart, children. It pours out its wickedness. It may go in a different path if you pour it out in this place than if you pour it out in this place, but it will always seek out the lowest path. The pouring out of wickedness will always express itself. Though it may go in different directions, it will always express itself. The human heart always and only seeks to do, think, be evil. The human heart, and we might make this in general, not just for the wicked, fleshly Israel. The human heart is responsible to glorify God and enjoy Him. But it can't. Though it's responsible to, it is totally unable to do so. What it can do, what it can only do, is seek to glorify itself and seek to have some amusement with itself and with the fallen world. We have seen that those who are nominal believers, that is, in name only, just like Israel after the flesh, curses are for these people. Their end is death. And actually, because they hate true godly wisdom. They really do. They hate it. Because they hate wisdom, they love death, just as we see at the end of chapter 8, that is in verse 36 of the book of Proverbs. Because they are wicked, the curse is for them, and dishonor as well. They have not just guilt, but shame. So we read here in verse 15, "You shall leave your name as a curse to my chosen. For the Lord Jehovah," that's why the word God is in small caps there, because it's reflecting that the Hebrew word for Lord is there, and then the word Jehovah. And the translators made it Lord God. "Will slay you and call his servants by another name." They're going to be treated shamefully because they are shameful or full of shame. They're not just cursed, they're going to become a curse. Now we see an example of this in something we sang already at the beginning of worship in Psalm 83. And I hope you were paying attention. We must always do so when we're singing the Psalms. It's not just words like "take me out to the ball game" that have no particular spiritual and eternal consequence. These are the words of God. But in Psalm 83, We sang from verses, among others, 9 through 13. In our prose, we have, deal with them as with Midian, as with Sisera, as with Jabin at the brook Kishon, who perished at Ein Dor, who became as refuse on the earth, pieces of poop. That's what it literally means in the Hebrew. Let them be like that. Make their nobles like Oreb and like Zeeb. Yes, all their princes like Zeba and Zalmunna, who said, let us take for ourselves the pastures of God for a possession. Oh my God, make them like the whirling dust, like the chaff before the wind. You see, these names and these people are not merely cursed. They become a curse. When others use a curse, they say, may it happen to you like Sisera, who had a tent peg put right through his head. May that happen to you. May you be nailed by the head to the ground. And then these others as well. This is the great dishonor and shame that is part of the judgment upon those who claim to be gods but abandon him, who do not look to his son. What do they look to? They look to their idols and they look to the pleasures of this world, and ultimately they look to themselves. Once again, all idolatry ultimately resolves into self-worship and self-assertion. I will decide whom I will worship. I will decide what is ultimate truth. I will decide what is ultimate good. It is up to me. If you're thinking, you can see how this is an attitude so very prevalent in our own society today. This is why people exalt freedom of choice, as they call it. This is why they exalt so-called liberation and equality with their definitions of it. Because ultimately they think this is where blessing is. Because they think they know better what's fair. Because they really know what it is to care. You see, they've got an idol. They've got an idol. We find this saddest of all within the church. Within the church. Much of the leading of this wickedness comes from, and we'll put this in little scare quotes here, progressive and liberal denominations. Even in some sections that claim to be evangelical, they follow after all this idolatry. They not only accept it, but they promote it. And they deny the gospel. They deny God's word. And they look to the idols of cultural approval, because ultimately they think they are right, because they think they want to be approved by them. And there are other things as well. They look to their own pleasures. They look to their own righteousness in order to establish that everything is fine, and they will have nothing to do with God's word. If they even acknowledge it, they twist it and spin it, so that it, to them, teaches nothing like what it really does teach. Well, God says here, for your shame's sake, I'm not even going to allow my servants to use your name anymore. A day will come when the sheep shall be separated from the goats. The goats will no longer be able to claim or act as though or assume that they are sheep. or pretend and try to fool others into thinking they're sheep. No longer shall tares be able to do so as the wheat. And it has happened now that those who have not believed in Jesus among the Jews are not the ones who have the name of the people of God. And the people of God do not usually go by the name of the children of Abraham, the children of Jacob, the children of Israel. We are not called that now. We are called Christian. We are given a new name. The people of God have a new name. We are now the blessed, and we are called by the name of the blessed one, the blessing one, the Lord Jesus Christ. The name of honor has been taken away, and someday shall be taken away from the unfaithful who claim to be part of the Church of Jesus Christ. They shall be shown for who they really are, in the same way that in the Scriptures, in the New Testament, men such as Simon the Magician or Demas were shown to be, as Ananias and Sapphira were shown to be. They shall be shown to be hypocrites, cast off, cursed, and ones who are ashamed and made into a curse. Now, in contrast to these are those who are the remnant, the Israel of God, circumcised in heart, or as we would use in our New Testament day, words from Jesus himself, born again. These are the ones in Isaiah's day who looked forward to the one who was coming, who understood him through the words of the prophets, I should say, who saw him through the persons and work of the priests and the meaning of their sacrifices, the meaning of the temple itself, who saw him in being separated from the world by their dietary habits and their clothing habits, who saw him in the festivals and holidays as he was portrayed. Those in that day were the remnant. And they were saved not because they kept God's law, no one can do so, but because they looked to the sacrifice whom the sacrifices portrayed. They looked to him who was the high priest whom the priests portrayed. They looked to him who would give joy and would dwell in the midst of his people, just as the temple was in the middle of Israel and the most holy place right there in the middle of the temple. And so on. And so on. They looked then to Jesus alone, through faith alone, which came about because of God's grace alone. And it is they alone who have honor and blessing. So we read of them that so that he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. And he who swears in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten and because they are hidden from my eyes. What does it mean to bless yourself? He who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. Okay, it is to speak of the great blessing that has come upon you or me or any of these believers because of God's grace. They will not bless themselves and think about how blessed they are because they count up their agricultural products that they have just harvested. They won't be like that foolish man who said, "My barns are full, what shall I do? I shall build new ones, and then I shall relax and, you know, well, I shall relax and take my ease." And he was called a fool in a dream. Your life will be taken from you. And what shall happen to all your wealth? You see, that guy had gotten all the world, but he'd lost his soul. He wasn't really blessed. He blessed himself in his crops. There are others who bless themselves in their coolness. Others who bless themselves in their hipness. Others who bless themselves in their progressivism. And yes, there are those who bless themselves in their conservatism. There are those who bless themselves in their military power and in their connections. There are all kinds of things in which people think they bless themselves, but nothing of this sort of themselves brings blessing. None of that does. No, only is there blessing in Jehovah God. Only is there blessing in Him who has sent, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the remnant bless themselves in the God of truth. What a significant phrase. In fact, the ones who swear by the God of truth. One who swears in the earth shall swear by the God of truth. That term, God of truth, I was looking at the Hebrew of that, and it's really, really neat. Let me see if I can bring out something for you. If I remember correctly, it is, in the Hebrew, Elohe Amen, or Amen, using the kind of Yiddish pronunciation of it. The God of Amen. Now, He is the God of truth. Let's think about this. This is looking to Jesus. This is looking to Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. The day is coming, God says here, when those who bless themselves in the earth and those who swear in the earth shall swear, shall be blessed only and completely in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are blessed will be blessed in Jesus, who is the living and true God, as we see in 1 Thessalonians 1:9. This blessing and this swearing, and by the way, I really do believe that this swearing is meaning personal and perhaps ecclesiastical, that means church, and national covenanting. Swearing and abiding to, standing to the lordship of the God of Amen. This is in Christ, in whom all the promises are yes and amen, as we read Paul writing in 2 Corinthians 1:20. In fact, our Lord Jesus, His very self. In Revelation 3:14 says, I am the Amen. The godly, the remnant, the born again, saved only by God's grace, only by His kindness to miserable and undeserving sinners. These God gives the Lord Jesus Christ. To them He gives Him. And only in Him, but certainly in Him, is all blessing in heaven and on earth. Blessing for now in the midst of tribulation, as we saw in Psalm 57. Blessing now in the midst of our travail and our working through this earth. And blessing eternal and unbelievable almost. In its wonder and in its glory, all that blessing is found certainly in the God of Amen. And our covenanting with Him, our consecration to Him, whether it be by you as an individual, you as families, us as a congregation, us as part of a larger denomination, us as part of all the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. All that swearing, and the nations yielding to the Lord Jesus Christ, kissing the Son before He becomes angry and they perish in the way. All that is done in the God of truth, the God of Amen, who makes it all to happen for His glory's sake. In fact, friends, those who are called a remnant in Isaiah's day. And those of us who maybe even yet are the little flock of which Jesus speaks shall not always be that way. He who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. And he who swears in the earth shall swear by the God of truth. This is something that shall be over all the world. We shall no longer be a remnant, but an overwhelming group of those who profess to be the people of God. All over the earth shall it be that people call on the name of Jehovah in their lawful oaths and vows. They shall have an eye to him, seeking his glory and pleasure and living delightfully in his Christ. And then we read that the former troubles are forgotten, and because they're hidden from my eyes. What are these former troubles? Boy, we can think up troubles, can't we? We've all been experiencing troubles. Think of the troubles we've gone through in this past year. We could take quite a while naming them, but we won't. But we can say what troubles are being spoken of here, former troubles, all those that humanity commonly shares. It would be things like hunger, thirst, exhaustion, deprivation of all sorts, having to go through blazing hot summers, having to go through bone-chilling winters, having to go through too much rain and not enough, too much sunshine and not enough, having to go through the oppressions of the wicked, having to deal with the oppression of sin within. These are all troubles in the earth. There are the hatreds and persecutions of the world that are peculiar to Christians and of false professors after the flesh. And then there is the particular agony that believers have that unbelievers don't have a clue on, and that is the agony over our remaining and abiding sin. The hatred and the downright effort that we make, the labor we make in trying to tear down the old as God in his grace kindly builds up the new within us. There are struggles and temptations from the world and the devil as well. But all these come to an end, and even now are in the process of coming to the end. This leads us right into the verses to come, and as we've read them week by week, as we've been here in chapter 65, doubtless you have thought, oh, this sounds so very New Testamentish. This sounds so very much like near the end or at the end of all things, with our Lord Jesus glorious returning and the resurrection of all, some to eternal life and some to eternal cursing. All these will come to an end, and in verses to come, we will see portrayed very, very plainly. New Testament days, New Testament realities, to which all these chapters since chapter 40 have been looking, in which righteousness shall fill the earth. Pray with me, won't you, that we will see these glories in the next few weeks to come as we finish up this chapter. Pray with me, won't you, that we will not only see this here in this word, but that we shall begin to see some of these things happening in the earth, that we will see the destruction of the wicked and the shaming of wickedness, that we shall see King Jesus exalted, that we shall see evidences of the coming of the new heavens and the new earth. Pray with me that the wicked will come to dishonor and not be liked on Facebook and not be retweeted on Twitter, not be exalted in the news media, but be put to shame as rightfully they should be. Pray with me that the godly should be exalted, or more properly, that the God of the godly in Jesus Christ would be exalted and not be blasphemed, dishonored, and set as nothing by the wicked of this world. Amen. Dishonor should be for the wicked. Honor to the remnant. Honor which they do not deserve. honor which was purchased at the shame of the Lord Jesus Christ, but honor upon those who are loved by God in Him. That is what's coming, friends, and we shall see more of it in weeks to come.